You're listening to the IQVIA podcast, where we discuss ways to drive innovation in healthcare.
Hello, and welcome to the IQVIA Launch Excellence series of podcasts, where we talk about what it means to launch a commercially successful prescription medicine launch in today's environment around the world. I'm Sarah Rickwood, and I am Director of EMEA Thought Leadership in IQVIA. But today, we're actually going to go to the US, because of course the US is not only the world's most valuable prescription medicine market, it's also absolutely critical for the global success of new innovative prescription medicine launches, particularly in the first 5 years of their lifetime. So the US really matters. And therefore, it's important to understand what really drives success now in the US prescription medicine environment. And that's why I'm really delighted to have as my guest on this week's podcast for Launch Excellence, Elise Munoz, who is the US Director of Research and Insights for IQVIA. Elise, alongside Brian Lasky, has just published a new paper, which is called Launch Excellence US Edition, The Rewrite of the Business of Launch, which you can find on the US Progress Point. Welcome to the podcast, Elise.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm very excited to be here today.
Fantastic. Well, I think we ought to go right into it. And what I'd really like to understand, Elise, is what has changed in the US launch environment in the last few years, and what's unique to the US in terms of launch environment as well?
Certainly. There's been a lot of change, especially in the post-pandemic period. We've undergone a severe economic change. There's been a lot of impact on how individuals seek care and receive care in the United States. There's been a change in expectation, not just at that level, but also with some of the payers in the United States and the kind of evidence and the kind of points that they expect to hear from a new product. And they become much more discerning in what they are willing to cover and what they aren't. Mix that with the pressures from the Inflation Reduction Act, you have a completely new environment for launch. Sarah, your work has wonderfully highlighted that there is a capacity issue. This is very true in the United States. We know that there are healthcare workers who have faced burnout. So getting the message about a new product to a provider is no longer as simple as it once was. They're inundated with information, with decisions. All of these pressures coming together have created this new launch environment. And it's really critical to get it right, not just because it's important for a business, but because it's individuals who we are really impacting here. So that's just a very high level view of the many different levers that have come into play over the last few years. I want to be clear, some of these pressures did exist before the pandemic, but the pandemic certainly heightened and exacerbated some of them. And so in our recalibrated US environment, we still have a lot of these pressures to contend with.
Thank you. And I think what's great about your latest paper is you've reflected those environmental change by starting to evolve your criteria for launch success in the US. So how have you changed those success criteria and why have you done that?
Yes. So when we would evaluate launches in the past, we would look at four big metrics. We would look at sales, obviously. We would look at promotional spend to try to get a rough return on investment calculation. We would look at market share and we would look at competitive rank. The problem with this system is that it does not take into account the context in which a product launches. So the example I like to give is you're comparing a diabetes product, which has a large addressable patient population, to a rare disease product, which has a small patient population and other distribution challenges and provider awareness challenges you don't necessarily have across other therapy areas. So it's an unfair comparison. What we've tried to do now is incorporate that context of a launch into its performance assessment. So now what we look at is still sales and still promotional spend, because those are important levers to pull. But we look at the capture of available patient share at 1 year on the market. And we look at persistence. Are patients staying on that product? And we look at rejection rate. So this is coming from payers, and this is, you know, where they essentially say we will or will not cover a product. So lower rejection rate means greater access. We looked at multiple factors, and what's interesting about this score, we take all of these different pieces together, create a composite score to assess the launch, and promotional spend is one of the most important parts in determining whether or not a product is successful. I know this is a little different in the United States compared to other geographies. So in the United States, we are allowed to have direct-to-consumer advertising. So patients can see commercials, hear radio ads, see ads on billboards as they're, you know, driving around. So that is really critical, that awareness, the understanding of disease state, and even unbranded campaigns are important in the United States.
Thank you. And yes, we have seen that since the start of the pandemic, the US has forged a different kind of promotional path to the European countries with a much greater recovery. So promotion and engagement is obviously really, really important. Now, I know that in your new paper, you've outlined three phases of the new launch success approach. So could you talk me through each of those three phases and tell me a bit about what success looks like in each of them?
Sure. So these three phases are roughly a year each, but there is some variability within products. But I want you to think of them as sequential steps that are important for building a sustainable launch trajectory and product lifestyle or product lifecycle trajectory. The first phase, phase one, is acquire. This is all about acquiring patients. Success in this phase looks like capturing as much of your available population as you can. When we say available population, what we mean here is we look at the epidemiology of the indication of the product. We look at how many individuals are already receiving some amount of care for that disease state. And then we look at the untreated. And so your focus here is really untreated. It's really bringing patients who have a diagnosis but don't have a treatment regimen set up yet, get them on your product. That 6-month window that we always talk about in launch excellence globally and in the US is still really critical. The next phase is optimize. This is when you have about a year's worth of data. You can see, oh, from my direct-to-consumer campaigns, what was the most effective in converting patients onto my product? What did healthcare providers find to be the most useful form of communication? Were my patients persistent? Did they stay on product? And if not, is there something I need to tweak in my patient support program and the support that I'm offering individuals? This is where you reallocate resources to make sure that you are really putting your money where you're going to get the most benefit. And then finally, phase three is grow. And this is perhaps the most exciting phase. This is when you're growing the market. This is when you are using predictive analytics to identify patients who fit your patient profile and should be on your product, but are not. This is when you are really differentiating on the market and encouraging switches to your product. And what we found is that these three phases build this long-term sustainability for a product. Now, I mentioned that 6-month mark, still very critical. And we know that you have to get that right. But what we've also found is that in the following 6 months, so months 7 to 12 on the market, there is room for course correction. And we have a really exciting example that shows just that.
Okay, so maybe that's the time to move to this particular example, which is Ozempic, a very topical launch in its own right at the moment. Talk us through what you found when you started to examine the Ozempic launch in detail in the US.
Okay, so Ozempic launched in 2018, and we began doing our initial assessments. And while it had wonderful efficacy in treating type 2 diabetes, its indicated therapy area, right? It's a very crowded market. And our initial assessments suggested that Ozempic was another GLP-1. It was going to have a relatively poor launch, which is kind of absurd to say now with the value of hindsight, because Ozempic has turned out to be a very successful launch. When we took into context the crowded market, the available patients, and the amount that Ozempic was spending on direct-to-consumer, which turned out to be extremely effective, we now realize under the new model of understanding successful products that it went from a poor or average at best launch in the first 6 months on the market to a certainly average, strong average launch, if you will, in the next 6 months. But then around month 13, 14 begins to transition to good, a successful launch. And this fits right in with the different phases that we've identified, as well as the lengthening of this launch window, this phenomenon that we've been seeing slowly trickle through in the United States.
Thank you very much, Elise. And I think that although the US is a very different launch environment in some respects, there's also lessons there that absolutely can be implied into other markets as well. So that was Launch Excellence US Edition, the rewrite of the business of launch, was the paper that we were talking about. And you can find that on IQVIA's US progress point. But I understand this is only the first of a series that you're doing, Elise. So could you give us a quick preview before we go on what the rest of the series is going to cover?
Definitely. We're just getting started, Sarah. So this first paper really focused on that first phase of launch, acquire. What do you need to do? How should you do it? Really laser focus. The next two pieces focus on the other two phases, respectively, optimize and grow. In each of those, we'll be diving into the analytics that we did to understand how to best optimize resources in a very resource-tight environment and how to grow. And as I mentioned earlier, the grow phase is very exciting. That's when we start doing more predictive analytics, talking about the future of data and what it can really do, not just for businesses, but for individuals who really need these innovative medicines.
Well, I'll certainly be looking out for those on the US progress point as they come out. But thank you very much, Elise, for being my guest on this edition of the Launch Excellence podcast series. Please look out for future podcasts, which will be released in the coming months, wherever you get your podcasts from IQVIA at the moment. And until that time, thank you very much for listening.
You've been listening to the IQVIA podcast. Learn more about how we help our customers and partners accelerate innovation in healthcare at IQVIA.com.